You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today we'll be talking about Zen street retreats. Our guest is Sensei Joshin Burns. Joshin is a Dharma teacher at Upaya Zen Center in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as well as its current president and vice abbot. He's a student of Upaya's founder, the abbot and guiding teacher Roshi Joan Halifax, and is a lineage holder in the Miyazumi Roshi and Bernie Glassman Roshi family of Soto Zen and the Zen Peacemaker Order. Joshin directs Upaya's chaplaincy training program and Upaya's resident program. He also leads social justice initiatives and Upaya's street ministry. Joshin, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for asking me on.
Sure enough. Can you tell us what a street retreat is?
Yeah, it's a relatively brief period of voluntary homelessness, which I do in cities around the country, where we decide simply to come into relationship with the whole situation where unsheltered people reside, live their lives. And so we use a kind of Zen structure, you know, Zen loves structure. And so we use a structure for our time on the streets as a way for us to drop into the situation so that we can come into relationship with people and all the aspects of a community that are experiencing homelessness.
Wow.
And from that experience, you know, we step out of our roles, our normal kind of fixing minds or the normal way we kind of look at these situations, which is with a kind of dualistic mind. You know, I'm here and I'm the fixer and I'm a person who can help, and so I'm going to help those other people who live over there who are so unfortunate. And we kind of let go of that framework and we simply become one with the situation and become intimate with it.
How long have you been doing this? When did you first do a street retreat yourself, Joshin?
I want to say my first one was maybe just 5 years ago. But it's been a practice that I've been curious about since I first heard about it. Bernie Glassman Roshi, the founder of the Zen Peacemaker Order, started doing them quite a while ago, maybe 20 years ago. In fact, it was stories about his street retreats that first attracted me to Zen practice, because it just felt like such a contemporary way to drop into some of the fundamentals of Zen, like the mind of inquiry, the experience of intimacy, the experience, really experiencing a koan in body, heart, and mind. And the streets are very much like a koan. And that's how he spoke about them, and that always kind of appealed to me. So when I finally had the opportunity to do one about 5 or 6 years ago, I did, and I found it to be a very rich experience. And then trained with Genro Gaunt Roshi, who's also a student of Bernie Glassman, and he kind of authorized me to lead them on behalf of Upaya.
How was the first one for you personally? Was it difficult?
Yeah, it was very powerful. I mean, and, you know, I had all kinds of assumptions about what it would be like before I went on it, about who unsheltered people are and what the conditions of their life might be. I had my own personal experience of some of this, and that my father himself was homeless for many years in New York City, and I had decided to do my first street retreat in some ways as a way to process a bit my own experience of my father's life, as a way to kind of understand a bit of what he had gone through. And that, yeah, I met my father many times on that first street retreat. You know, in the people and the faces that I was spending time with in the soup kitchens or sleeping on the sidewalks. And yeah, you know, got to see some things that I hadn't been previously aware of.
It's a different view, must be.
Yeah, it is a different view.
Yeah. If you had to choose something, what do you think tends to be the most challenging part of doing a street retreat for participants?
Leaving them.
Hmm.
It's sometimes what happens on street retreat is you come into relationship with people. And, you know, we have a practice when we're on the streets. We do meditation at times throughout the day. We do counsel process where we practice speaking from the heart and listening to one another deeply as we're processing the experience. And oftentimes people who are living on the sidewalks will join us and become part of our sangha and our community. And it's always quite painful when then you have your closing counsel and you know that, you know, you will leave the streets and they will stay. Hmm. And that's, I think, consistently the most challenging part of the retreat for me, at least.
Yeah. What have you heard from participants about the way the experience has affected their lives and practice, you know, when they go home?
Yeah.
And I wonder how it's affected yours.
People will often say that they never look at people who are experiencing homelessness the same way again. They never walk by them on the sidewalks of their neighborhood and not notice them anymore. You know, that people begin to realize how they have either not looked at or not engaged with these people who share their neighborhoods with them, and suddenly they're much more aware. And I think the other experience for many of us is that the fear we have, which is, you know, which shows up in so many different ways, we often have a fear of the other, you know.
Hmm.
But that the fear we have of homeless people or people experiencing homelessness settle, you know, kind of dissipates a bit, loosens up. Because on street retreat, you wind up coming to know them as human beings. You know, these aren't homeless people.
Hmm.
These are people. And they're people with complex and interesting lives who have hopes and aspirations for their future, who have deep spiritual questions, who have histories and stories of being loved and cared for and loving people and caring for people. And so, you know, it's a humanizing experience to spend time with folks. And as a result, I think we become less afraid. And we begin to see ourselves in them and them in ourselves. And suddenly we're not in an us and them relationship anymore.
Mm.
We're in a we relationship.
Yeah. That's part of the retreat, I guess, is interacting and listening to the stories to some degree or another.
It can be. Mm. Yeah. We go in without much of an agenda at all, actually.
Mm.
We go in with essentially no money in our pocket. We have a dollar. The clothes on our back and maybe a blanket in a plastic bag or an old knapsack. And we just drop in and then we see what arises. And sometimes, you know, yeah, we wind up having wonderful conversations with people. Sometimes we don't. You know, it's a whole rich, multifaceted experience that is never quite the same every time you do a street retreat.
Yeah. I've heard you say that underneath the kind of the frothy anger and outrage at the culture of inequality that you may feel, especially the first part of a street retreat, that there are the twin feelings of despair and of hope. Can you speak a little bit about those feelings?
Yeah. I would say for me, kind of one of the things that happens fairly regularly in the first day of street retreat is I have such a strong critique going on of our society.
Mm.
That happens almost every time. You know, I go into a city, I was recently in Denver, or I go to New York or San Francisco or Albuquerque, and I become so acutely aware of the enormous economic divide that exists, or the lack of appropriate or adequate care for people. Or I notice how many people just walk by us and never even notice that there are homeless people sharing the sidewalk with them. You know, so my first flush of emotion is often a kind of anger that can give way to a kind of despair. And, you know, I'll see and do my little intellectual critical analysis about how corporate interests, you know, really rule the day rather than the concerns of the human heart or human relationship, and that the whole system is set up to create a kind of profound suffering that we have come to tolerate and think of as acceptable. So that is often what's happening for me at the beginning. And I think all of that exists, you know, and all that is true. And what happens over the course of the retreat is something else also emerges, which is about the healing, transformative power of human relationship and interaction. It sometimes seems like, gosh, we are so close to being able to make that small shift in the way we see things or do things or structure things that can provide enormous relief for these people, that can help them gain access to their basic human needs of housing, clothing, right medicine for them, and most importantly, healing, loving experience of a community that they can belong to. That seems so close, and that gives me hope. And so, you know, it's like within light there is darkness, and darkness there is light. Within despair there is hopefulness, and within hopefulness there is despair. And I think that's part of the great koan of street retreat, is to be able to sit with all of that and all of its complexity, and to grow and develop and connect and become, you know, more human through the experience.
Joshin, if someone was interested in pursuing a street retreat, doing one, but has fears and reservations, as I imagine many people would, what advice would you give them?
To explore their motivation and intention. Street retreat can be a rigorous practice, but we've had many people come on street retreat who come because they realize that they're biases, their fixed ideas about homeless people have been a source of discomfort and pain for them themselves, and they want to begin to work with that. And so, you know, explore the motivation for doing a street retreat, and if you feel that your fear keeps you from connecting in to a group of people who you feel drawn to be with, then let's do it together. And we, you know, we can practice with that fear. So, yeah, fear is a common emotion, I think, as we all think about doing it. And I also want to say that one of the things we do on street retreat is provide a container within which we can explore this experience together. So we always move as a group. We sleep on the sidewalks as a group. We beg as a group. We go to the soup kitchens together as a group. No one is sent off alone. We even have a buddy system during the night for finding a place to go to the bathroom and all that stuff. And so, you know, while of course there are some risks to being on the street for periods of time, we also do everything we can to make it a environment where people can feel enough safety to drop into the experience.
Yeah.
So if folks would like to join us, they can register online at UPAYA's website. It's www.upaya.org, U-P-A-Y-A.org. And part of the experience of doing street retreat is also raising money before their street retreat and giving that money away after the street retreat. And we do that through a kind of democratic process of decision-making with the group of us who have done the street retreat together. And that's always a very satisfying and moving part of the experience.
Great. Joshin, thank you so much for spending a few minutes to let me know about street retreats. I've got a ton of questions, but we're out of time.
Well, maybe we can chat again sometime. And thanks so much for your interest.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Joshin. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Crossing. For more information about the Puget Sound Zen Center, go to pszc.org.